Welcome back, everyone, to D&D Outdoors. Today on the show, got a lot going on. We have new rules coming from the BLM. Legislators are actually doing something for us hunters and anglers. Grizzly bears and more. How are you doing, Dustin? How's your weekend?
So far, so good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. I went out with this group called Blast and Cast. It's like a Texas-based group. I went fishing at a local lake, so I actually got to go on a bass boat for the first time in like 10 years. And caught some, I guess they're called spotted bass, which I've never caught before, so it was kind of fun. It rained a lot. We're out there fishing to rain, but it was different. It was fun.
All right. So what do they do?
So Blast and Cast, it's a men's ministry group, but it's for people all over. So they put on different hunting and fishing events in Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Florida. They're starting to expand. It was originally based out of Texas. Essentially just, yeah, people that enjoy the outdoors and all that good stuff. I mean, I was looking, it's like $150. This isn't a plug for them. We're not sponsored by them. I just had a great time with them. And the $150 covered my lodging for the weekend. You get to go fishing. We did a crawfish boil on Saturday and like all your food. So it's actually a good deal. Like some of the deals that they have, I'm going to do more with them. Like you can go duck hunting on the coast with them down in like Houston, so you get sea ducks, redfish fishing, like things that would cost a crap ton of money through them. Doesn't cost too much.
Okay,
you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty fun. It was different to get out with a group of people that you don't know.
Yeah, it's a little strange the first few minutes, then it just kind of,
yeah, there was about 30 people there. By the end of the week, we all were just like good friends.
We're good.
Yeah. But yeah, if you head on over to their website, you can check them out. I think it's blastandcastministries.com. See all the different events. If you want to do some cheap ones, you can say I referred you. I don't know if that does anything, but when I signed up for it, it said, who referred you? I was like, oh, I don't know one. Yeah. Maybe that can get them to sponsor us eventually. Blastandcast.org. As I said, we're not sponsored by them, nor have we asked them. But yeah. But as always, D&D Outdoors is brought to you by Old Glory Beef Jerky, made right here in the US of A. Head on over to oldglorybeefjerky.com.
Yeah.
Okay. My screen went blank. Sorry. I don't know what happened there. That was weird. Anyways, we brought some of that on the trip. I brought some of the Old Glory Beef Jerky on the trip, and I guess someone's like, this is the best beef jerky ever. And I was like, no, you got to try some of the Old Glory Beef Jerky. And they loved it. Lord.
That's good.
Anyway, yeah. So hopefully you got a new customer out of that. Awesome. Well, the BLM, not known as the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, not the ones that burn your city down, per se, is trying to create a new rule. Congress is trying to overturn it. And the legislation, it threatens traditional users. Earlier this week, House Republicans gathered enough votes to narrowly pass the West Act, which, if the Senate agrees to, will nullify the new BLM's new conservation landscape health rule that elevates conservation priorities on 245 million acres of public land. Essentially, the meat and potatoes of the bill is that it would start controlling cattle grazing on the BLM land, you know, energy, could have impact hunting and fishing. And, you know, out west, a lot of people use the BLM land to graze their cows, get leases and things like that through it. And I don't know why the BLM, we know why the BLM tried to do it. You know, strong proponents of the bill are coming from the western states that are saying, no, this can't happen. We're like Wyoming, Montana, where the bills are going to impact the way of life out there. Of course, you know, this is run by, you know, the guy occupying the White House right now is the one that's trying to destroy the way of life. Someone, you know, I don't know. He says he's been a lot of things. Maybe he's been a cattle rancher for all I know.
I'm not getting into it.
No. So we'll see if it passes. It'll get rid of those, probably get rid of the dumb laws that they're trying to, or not laws or whatever the BLM's trying to do, trying to implement this new rule. I mean, it would impact pretty much every Western state out there, which is absolutely ridiculous that they're even trying to think that they could get away with it. But again, not surprising knowing the BLM. Yeah. Do you guys have a lot of BLM land out in your neck of the woods?
No. What's BLM stand for?
Bureau of Land Management.
We have public land here, or national forest is what it's called.
Okay. Yeah, we have like national forests, we have wilderness areas, we have Bureau of Land Management areas, we have a lot of different areas. I don't know if you remember, who was it, the Bundys in Nevada was like a big standoff with cattle in like 2010. The BLM was trying to take his cattle because he was grazing on their land.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so the BLM controls pretty much all the land that you can graze in out west. It's more of the non-forested areas, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. So we will see how that goes. Well, it's that time of year. The bugs are coming out. The armadillos are coming out. Get yourself some Zone Protect bug spray. I like to shake your head. You got armadillos out your way?
I was thinking more of ticks.
Ticks, yeah. The ticks are coming out. Get on over to zoneprotects.com and order yours today. Yeah. Actually,
Have you ever seen an armadillo?
I was just about to say, I saw my first armadillo when I was heading up to that hunting property.
Yeah.
But it was dead on the side of the road.
Them things, I haven't seen a live one. They have the mentality of a squirrel, but they look like a possum with a helmet on.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see one, like, because I heard you can catch them and just pick them up by their tails.
I've always heard that they got leprosy.
Oh, they well, cure leprosy. Well, good thing I didn't try to pick one up yet. I'll stay away from that. I don't need to have leprosy outbreak going on out here. Yeah. Have you seen an armadillo? Like, yeah. Do you have them out in Virginia?
No, I've seen them during some of the hunts we did in South Carolina.
Gotcha. I didn't know they went that far east.
They come through, and like I said, they're playing around like a bunch of squirrels would normally do here, but they look like a possum with a helmet on.
Yeah, that's funny, man. Yeah, I've always seen one dead. I really want to see, because they say they're all throughout Texas, but I haven't yet to see one. Alive, I should say. I've seen a dead. Oh, man. Well, a shed hunter in Montana kills a grizzly bear with a handgun. Is the first known defense or self-defense killing of a grizzly bear this year. This happened on April 25th near Wolf Creek. Grizzly bear charged the guy, and he killed it. Pretty much simple as that. You know, he's not injured, thank goodness, and he was not carrying bear spray. He was on private land, and it was just walking around a snow-covered ledge. And he saw the grizzly bear tracks in the snow, and he had two dogs, so he kind of just walked and saw the bear standing 20 yards away from him near the ridge. The bear charged him. He drew his handgun, fired 5 shots from 30 to 10 feet, and he killed the bear. And yeah, that's some shooting under pressure right there, I would say.
And that's the article I sent you to? Am I reading that right when it says that it was a female grizzly and it had cubs nearby?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, it was an adult female grizzly that weighed about 300 pounds and was estimated to be about 12 years old. Yep. Yeah. So they found a cub nearby, which is at the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Helena. So that it's within one of the 6 grizzly bear recovery zones that are designated in the lower 48. So, well, I guess, I don't know. That's some pressure shooting right there. Grizzly bear running at you. Got to empty your chamber pretty dang quick.
Yeah. But him seeing the tracks and still following them, man, that's going to be... Well, they'll probably end up trying to get him on that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know with that stuff. I mean, you see it watched on TV. People kind of follow them, and they run off. Maybe didn't expect it to attack.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm sure. But they're in Montana, so maybe he's safe. If he did it in Washington, he'd probably be in jail for life. You know, where they want to put those grizzly bears at. Montana seems a little bit more lenient on that stuff.
Yeah, still though, it's rough too, because what the Cub probably some of the programming I watch a show called Wardens, where they follow the game wardens around, and yeah. I think same thing happened there, where you know Bear charged, the man had to shoot it and all, and it had the Cubs with it, and they even said that the Cubs would probably never be in the wild again after this, because they transport them to a zoo or whatever, and they stay there the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is too bad about the Cubs. I wonder if you saw the Cub track, or if you just saw the one track of the adult. They didn't say that, just always saw the tracks. Yeah, if he followed it and knew there was Cubs there, I wasn't very smart on his part, because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, we'll see what the investigation turns out.
Comes. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And he was on private property, which is interesting too.
Was it his private property or
it, I'm sure he had permission to be on it if he's. Because they didn't say he was trespassing. Well, you know, I would assume the headline would say trespasser shot grizzly bear.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
That's just making an assumption. I'm not positive on that, but, you know, just guessing that that's what it would say. If it was something, if he was trespassing on private property. But who knows? Strange. And as always, D&D Outdoors is brought to you by Hitless Seeds. Get those food plots in, get ready for bird season, get ready for deer season, or whatever season. Well, I guess you probably could eat the radishes too if you wanted to. Get ready for your own season if you just want to make yourself some food. Head on over to hitlessseeds.com and order yours today. Well, it's that time of year. We'll be getting our hunting gear put together. Just want to talk to you real quick about Fenix flashlights. Fenix flashlights is, you know, for me, flashlights are one of the most crucial pieces in your hunting arsenal. The Fenix HT18R will illuminate the night up to 2,800 lumens, which 2,800 lumens you can see almost a mile away with. The flashlight is very lightweight. The Fenix HT18R weighs 8.91 ounces. And, you know, I was out messing around with it in my backyard, and it's really, really, really blind you almost. Don't look at it directly in the eye. With that, you know, they have put the colors on the flashlight. It comes with red and green, so you can even use it for hunting, for if you can do night hunting in your areas, like hogs or coyotes or things like that, to illuminate the night to be more conducive with your scope. It runs for $159.95, but it's worth every penny. Well, the House is protecting hunter and anglers for once. There are four bills that are expected to die in the Senate, but they're a preview of what the conservation tug of war is kind of showing. The House has voted, the U.S. House of Representatives, to some key pieces of legislation, which is going to go to the Senate. I don't think, as I said, the Senate probably won't pass it, but you know, it's kind of good that it's starting now, but you know, this administration's kind of out of touch with wildlife and hunting of the U.S. So the first rule,
reality altogether.
Yeah, out of touch completely. I don't know. He probably was a mountain man hunter, you know, because he's been everything. He's been a lot more than I know someone could be in a life. The first one we talked about is overturning the BLM, public, the West Act. That one might feel possibly could be made through the Senate, you know, so allow BLM usage, such as we talked about, energy, livestock, grazing, all that good stuff that comes with it. The other one, which I thought was interesting, was overturning the boundary waters protection. In the Superior National Forest Restoration Act would roll back the administration's 2023 order to protect the boundary waters, wilderness, and surrounding national forest lands from mining. It would require U.S. Forest Service to reissue all canceled mining issues in the area. So in September of 2023, they said they were going to place a 20-year moratorium on mining on about 120,000 acres in the Superior National Forest, halting a copper and nickel mine that was happening there. You know, obviously everybody was happy about this because you don't really want mines up in that area that could pollute the water. It's more, I guess, the boundary waters are going to be more of like where you can canoe and things like that. Hunting and fishing you can do there, but it's more, it's a wilderness area, so you can't use motors or anything with a motor there. It's either horseback, canoe. I don't even know if you can use pedal bikes in wilderness areas or your feet. So I hunted a lot in Arizona in the wilderness areas. So you can't, if like you're flying a helicopter, you can't land in it. There's no, it's like meant to keep nature out there. So looks like they're going to say, it looks like they're going to allow to overturn it and, you know, allow some mining to come back in there. But as we said, you know, it's, that's going to be help the rural communities from the mine, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to say, seeing what happens, because you don't want to have the mines going in there though, because if something happens, the wilderness can be impacted. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Yeah. So let us know how you feel about those two. As always, D&D Outdoors is brought to you by Tailgate Spices. It's grilling season. Get some good spices for the grill. Head on over to tailgatespices.com today to order yours. And there's still more. We just took a little break there because I didn't think you wanted to listen to me just keep talking while you know I was still talking. The next one. So what do you think of those first two right there, Dustin, before we dive into the last two?
Boundary water protections. What exactly are they?
So the boundary waters are, from my understanding, it's going to be where, I think it's where, I'm going to, let me look it up because I can't remember exactly what it is, but I'm pretty sure the boundary waters are where, what's it called? The Mississippi River starts. So, they're trying to protect that wildlife of it. Oh, there's no roads. So it's a wilderness area. It's the largest wilderness area east of the Rockies and north of the Everglades, which is the most accessible by which you get, people can get to. So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it contains about 1,175 lakes ranging from 10 to 10,000 acres. More than 1,200 miles of canoe routes, 12 hiking trails, and 2,000 designated campsites. It contains the largest area of uncut forest remaining in the eastern U.S. So essentially, it's just a very highly protected wilderness area. And that's what they're trying to keep it as, is not to have anything that could. So it looks really pretty, too.
I mean, so yeah, as I said, it's a lot of area around here that have been woods my entire life, and now all of a sudden they want to come in and they pretty much strip. It was a 100-acre spot up the road from me. Then they're putting in apartment complexes and supposed to be some shops and some restaurants. It's, now where's your animal can go?
Yeah. Well, those people don't seem to care, but they do. They seem to care, but they don't seem to care. You know, they complain about it all, but they don't do anything about it.
And that's where your national parks and all like this were created to protect them from turning into a conquered world.
Yeah. And so, yeah, no, it's so, and wilderness areas, as I said, are the, you know, you can't, nothing motorized can be in there. So it allows it to stay natural as well. So it's quiet. It's not too out of hand, you know. So the issues are, is just if the mine would be releasing toxic materials and, you know, essentially just affecting the boundary waters in a negative way. Yeah, so it is, you know, I don't really like Minnesota, but that's one good thing they have. It would be a fun place to visit, it looks like, too. You know, it looks beautiful online. Yeah. So I don't see that one being overturned. I think, you know, they won't allow the boundary waters to be
desecrated.
Yeah, desecrated. Thank you. See, big words. The next bill they passed was blocking lead ammo and tackle bans. What's happening? The Protecting Access for Hunters seeks to bar the federal government from imposing any bans on lead ammunition or fishing tackle on public land or on federal land. This bill was introduced by, hey, one of your senators, Bob Whitman of Virginia. So I don't know if he's in your, you know, was a final rule made by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2022 to expand hunting and fishing in 18 different national wildlife refuges, while also banning lead ammo in those same refuges by 2026. Obviously, people support the rules and people are against the rules. Kind of calling it a bait and switch, like, hey, we're going to allow you to have this hunting, but we're going to take some parts of hunting away. You know, I think this one's interesting. They say, you know, obviously lead ammo is cheaper, but I don't know many people that use lead ammo anymore, to be honest with you, or people that use lead fishing tackle. I didn't even know they made lead fishing tackle. Do you use lead ammo?
I couldn't tell you the last time I purchased ammo from a store, so I'm going to go with, yes, I still use lead ammo.
Oh, I guess that's
all my dad hunted with was the soft nose.
I guess I didn't think about making your own ammo with that. Yeah, I'm not skilled like that, so I did not put two and two together on that one.
Yeah, I got a big stringer full of lead sinkers because I knew a guy that had the molds, and that's poured them. And
see, I didn't even think of. Yeah, see, that's smart. See, I didn't think of that stuff because I can't do stuff like that. I forgot about that's how you make everything homemade. How do you like lead sinkers? I've used lead ammo in the past. I think I have some boxes of old ammo that's lead, but I've never used a lead sinker. I don't think.
I don't know what to compare it to. I mean, I've always used.
Well, lead. Other people with. I guess. Is it rust?
No.
No. Interesting. So, yeah.
You take a little split shot and you put it on in, you bite it closed with your teeth and roll on.
Yeah. Well, that's how I do. I shit my tooth once doing that. That was not fun.
Bit a was little it too lead?
Hard. Maybe it was. I don't know. I just have a I have a bunch of random. It was old. Old fishing tackle, so maybe because it's been sitting in one of my old fishing boxes.
I mean, that lead is pretty much a soft metal.
Well, it probably wasn't lead then. It's probably steel then, or that tungsten stuff. I'm not sure what it was. So I have a bunch of old fishing boxes that's crap just sitting in it that I use when I'm back with my dad and stuff because I just leave it there. And that stuff that he used, so who knows what could be in it. It's probably some of that radium in it or radon, whatever. You know?
And you done went ahead and bit it, so.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm so special. Oh, man. And the last one, which is probably the most important one that they passed, is delisting the gray wolves. It would remove the ESA, the Endangered Species Act protection for all gray wolves in the lower 48. This was led by Lauren Boebert of Colorado. It passed 209 to 205. This bill would require the Department of Interior to reinstate the 2020 ruling that removed gray wolves from the Endangered Species Act that was overturned by a federal judge in 2022. Returns the management of the gray wolves to the state, which it should be. You know, cattle growing association is obviously very happy, wants this. Stock growers want this to happen. But especially what's happening in Colorado. But, you know, those other powers that be don't want. That one probably won't pass. Unfortunately, I don't see it passing at all. If it does pass, I think the guy that's taking care of himself up in the Oval Office probably won't have it be passed. He'll probably do what he does, you know, when you veto a bill. Because, you know, he's got to worry about the campers on the college campuses. Yeah, hopefully they delist gray wolves, though. That'd be very good. You look confused.
Well, you just mentioned college campuses, and that brings up the subject of we want to thank everybody for protesting to get our names on the ballot, but that's not the way to go about it. You know, just break it up, go on home peacefully.
Yeah. All righty. Well, yeah, just not very smart. But thank you guys for listening to D&D Outdoors. As always, we appreciate y'all. Be sure to give us a like and a follow wherever you listen to this podcast at. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and the Facebook at D&D Outdoors. And you can now check out our website, dandoutdoorspod.com. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. And if you're heading to work, it will be over soon.